Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We go out to the fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Sean Gentile of The Athletic is on the hotline to talk a little Kyle Dubas with us. Sean, your first impressions of Dubas. Did he win the press conference with his answers yesterday?
Chris, my first question for you is if they have clocks out at Bowser Chevy. It's 5:28. What are you doing here? Running late.
Blame that on the power rankings, which is also my fault for running late, actually. That's fair. No. In fact, if Craig is listening right now, I bet you he loves that I just told you 5:20 and then did a horrible job and you called me on it.
Just figure this is just a personal affront by you against me.
It is. It's disrespect.
Kyle Dubas. He won the press conference for sure. I don't know. It was funny watching people react to the Kyle Dubas experience. Honestly, the polish and the enthusiasm and the pretty genuine excitement that he showed yesterday. I think that's what a lot of people have watched him over the years in Toronto have come to expect. That's how it works. It's how he operates. He's an impressive dude. He's a smart dude, and he has a good job. He does a good job of showing people that he cares. And I think we got to masterclass in that last night, honestly.
Was he the right guy for the Penguins? And if so, why?
Yeah, he's the only choice. This is like, I'm not going to say that this is like another example of them falling backwards into a great situation. Like, this isn't, you know, lottery ball dropping for Crosby kind of thing, but it is really fortunate that they needed someone to fill that position in a year that he randomly and controversially became available. Like feasibly, this was as good as they were going to do. I'll put it that way. And I think they acted the part. FSG knew that they wanted him. They changed their plan a couple different times, and they cut the big check and they gave him what he wanted. I think it was pretty clear pretty early in the process that they weren't going to let him say no. You know, if he wanted the job was going to be his. And if you can't do better as an ownership group than that, honestly.
Before I ask you why you think he wanted the job, Sean, let me ask you this. To go back to people's reaction to the press conference and winning the press conference and all that, do you think it's just because this is nowhere near what we got from Ron Hextall and or Jim Rutherford? To be quite honest, Jim Rutherford would have been very open and honest with us, right? He would have told a little joke here or there, would have told us exactly who he wanted to trade for or sign. He would have mentioned three or four specific names, and then we all would have gone, oh, that's great. He's so folksy and down to earth and tells you exactly what he thinks. And Ron Hextall would have sat there like a log and pointed to his head and said, it's all up here, kids. And then he would have hidden in his office for 3 hours and watched tapes of prospects. Kyle Dubas is none of that. He knows exactly, or at least is telling us he knows exactly what he wants to do, exactly how he's going to do it, and didn't have to hesitate for a split second in telling you why he wants to do all of it.
Yeah, I think Hextall gave everyone a pretty solid reminder of the dangers of having a charisma vortex in that position over the last couple years, right? I think that was a big part of why the reaction to Dubas was what it was, because absolutely fans here know from the opposite now because of what they just watched for 2.5 years. But I think that's a strength of Dubas's. I think it's not just winning the press conference either. It's about bringing substantive ideas and explaining them, you know, pretty well to a wider audience. And that's what we saw. The ideas are pretty good. That dude built a pretty good team in Toronto. It's tough to rack up 110, 115 point seasons, right? It's tough to win Stanley Cups. And in 5 years on the job, I think he did about as well as you could reasonably expect someone to.
Why does he want this job? Why doesn't he want to go to a place that's got more of a prospect pool built out, or a team that, I don't know, why doesn't he want to sit around for a year and wait for a spot that maybe has a longer runway to a championship, in so much as he doesn't have to worry about tearing it down in 3 or 4 years and building it up again?
I think a lot of that is where FSG closing the deal comes in, right? That's a pretty interesting place to work if you're a young, data-focused sports executive. It's the home of Theo. It was the home of Theo Epstein. It was the incubator for Theo Epstein, probably should say. And there's soccer involved, and there's other sports involved. I mean, it's an interesting spot. And again, it helps if you're Kyle Dubas when you're talking to John Henry or Tom Werner or these big names, top of the masthead folks that are cutting the check. You know, that helps too, right? There was, I'm sure there was a number that FSG had to hit to make it worth it, right? And the end result is he's going to be paid a lot of money for a lot of years to coach the last couple years of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin's career, and then B, really preside over whatever happens next. I think that's a pretty attractive option for any executive, regardless of whether you're a guy who has the opportunity to wait. The important thing to remember too here is that Kyle Dubas was not fired. Kyle Dubas's contract lapsed, right? So he wasn't going to make money sitting around. And it's always better to cash checks than not, right? Especially whenever they add up to be, you know, $6 or $7 million over the course of a calendar year or whatever his deal winds up being for.
We call that Starkey money in our building, actually, Sean.
I saw a wonderful ad read my man cut for Omaha Steaks a couple days ago
on Twitter. The Twitter still shot of that, because I like have the autoplay disabled on my Twitter, uh-huh, like in Chrome. I was waiting for him to hold up a paper with today's day and date, based on the look of his face on the still frame there. Yeah, it was like he was taking you in Buffalo Bill, like he was, you know, in some sort of basement from the Saw movies.
It rubs the marinade on its steak.
Yeah, right. Like, and I've been to Joe's house and it's nice, but he took like the most cinder blocky shot he could to promote the steaks. Filet mignons, that is, Sean.
This is Joe time stamping a caramel apple tartlet or whatever he was hawking there at the end. We love it, baby.
Sean Gentile, of course, of The Athletic, talking with us right now on the PM team, talking Kyle Dubas. Okay, so when he looks at this roster, what do you think his first priority should be and will be, Sean?
Depth forwards. I think that's the way it has to be. That's Hextall's single biggest feeling over the course of his tenure, right? He had 3 trade deadlines, 2 off seasons. He couldn't add anybody worth the damn along the third or fourth line. It was crazy decisions, bad decisions, roster shuffling just for the sake of it. And the end result there was, you know, you had a bunch of guys in support roles for the Crosby and Malkin lines. You had 7 goals, 9 goals, 11 goals, getting grotesquely outscored when they're on the ice at 5-on-5. That's just not going to work. And that ultimately is the biggest failing on Hextall's part, was that he just wasted what may end up being the last great season that those two guys have at the same time, right? 93 points for Crosby. He's healthy for the duration. Malkin bounces back, looks great. You know, certainly outperforms the contract that he signed the year before. It's a joke that we're sitting here talking about Danton Heinen being the most productive offensive player outside the top 6, but that's where they are. And I think Dubas, over the course of his time in Toronto, did a pretty good job of working around the margins, adding guys for $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million that were capable of moving the needle a little bit, not getting hemmed in their own end, and doing a good job of getting the puck back to the guys who matter. And I think that's going to be his single biggest focus, you know, over the next couple months.
Was it just me? Am I reading too much into the way he talked? Although I'm sure he thought about every single word and how he was going to order them and speak them yesterday, Sean. But did it sound like Kyle Dubas was going to, I don't know, maybe have a quick conversation, get to know Tristan Jarry just a little bit personally, and then decide if he's simply another one of the guys that's on the flaming heap of goaltenders, mm-hmm, that are available this offseason?
Dude, I think you're right. I think he chose his words very carefully for a reason there. The important thing to remember about Tristan Jarry, though, is that for all his faults, for all his injury proneness and his lack of consistency and whatever you want to say about that dude, he might be the best goalie on the free agency market this year. That's a problem, and that's a problem that Kyle Dubas is going to have to contend with, right? Because, yeah, we can sit here and say, boy, it would be great if the Pittsburgh Penguins could move on from Tristan Jarry, but the question that follows is, like, who do they bring in next? Is it Freddie Anderson, who was hurt and inconsistent for the Carolina Hurricanes last year? Is it someone off the scrap heap? Like, there aren't a lot of options, and I think it's very feasible that either Tristan Jarry gets thrown some godfather offer from some other team, or the Penguins are in a position where they need to, you know, go past their comfort zone in the interest of having a goaltender that has some degree of track record, even if it's a wobbly one, for the next couple years.
What would it be, you'd say, like, to Jarry, if it was that kind of an offer? It would be like, leave the stick, take the tube of Bengay for your, like, sore, your soft tissue injuries. How would that work?
It's like the entire, like, that dude, I will say this. We hear, like, lower body injury, and it's usually code for something. I think he actually did have a lower body injury.
Just whole, his entire, like, lower his body entire, was hurt?
His entire lower body was injured. Yeah. So pick one. Whatever, man. Groin, you know, sports hernia, hip. Like, who knows? It's not like it all went bad for him. That's been the story of his career, though, man. And that's the single biggest reason. You know, where in a perfect world, they could put him on a prove-it deal. You sign him for 1 year or 2 years, right? That, in most instances, is how it would work. But when you look at the goaltender market this year, he's the best option by probably a pretty sizable margin. It's crazy, but true.
Sean, we know that this is not priority one for Dubas because he said as much. He's going to function as the interim GM through the draft and then through free agency, and then he's going to get down to brass tacks at actually hiring somebody. Who are some likely names that could be manning that post here under Dubas?
You're going to see a lot of the folks from Toronto surface. Brandon Pridham was his main guy. Pridham is one of the best salary cap guys in the league. He's going to come up. I think Haley Wickenheiser is an assistant general manager there. She's one of the greatest women's hockey players of all time. She's going to come up. Kate Madigan is a name from the New Jersey Devils who I think makes sense. This is in addition to all the usual suspects that we see from other teams. You know, your Matthew Darshes and your Steve Greelys and folks like that. But I think there is an opportunity here for Dubas, you know, because of what he brings to the table and because of the organizational structure that they have in place. If they want to go off the board a little bit and maybe give someone a bump and take a chance on someone who's inexperienced or maybe not the most traditional candidate, I think they're going to have that. I think they're going to have that opportunity, and I would be shocked if they didn't seriously look at someone like that. Cam Lawrence is another name to watch too. He works for the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. He's worked for the Florida Panthers in the past. Pittsburgh guy. He worked for GNC in an executive role for a bunch of years. He's a name that has a lot of heat as well for whenever Dubas does get around to filling that job.
Sean, I'm going to do something again, and probably something that was done to him far too often in Toronto. I'm going to parse words very, very closely. But I noticed mm-hmm. that Kyle Dubas yesterday, but again, we know how closely he chooses his words, I think. When mm-hmm. talking about the top six, mentioned the salary cap space available to him. He knew it was $20 million, and also used the word supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of considering whether he needs to move one of those people out, I've heard Brian Rust's name kicked about by fans at least, does he consider adding to that top six mix instead?
I think he's got the opportunity to if he wants. And does that mean that he just re-signs Jason Zucker? I don't know, right? It seems like, look, Kyle Dubas for the first time in a long time has salary cap space to work with, right? It's over $20 million right now. It could be more if you find some way to make Mikael Granlund disappear, but that's a whole nother discussion. So I think the idea of having room to negotiate, room to maneuver, whether it's in UFA, it's a really bad crop. So I would be, I'm sure Kyle Dubas would be hesitant to overpay anybody from that group of players. But I don't know. I think the trade market's going to be interesting because, yeah, absolutely. He has the money to add, you know, maybe a bigger ticket item to that top six, and he openly said that it was something that he would consider. So for sure, I didn't, like, again, he could have easily been talking about Jason Zucker, right? But you know, we all know how that stuff has a tendency to work out.
Last one, Sean, before we got to let you go, how screwed is the defense as far as trying to rebuild that or retool that for Kyle Dubas? And what would be what can be a way he goes about doing that?
The right side is just, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I'm not sure if you're Dubas, like what you do about the Jeff Petrie issue. I think that Petrie was maybe not quite as bad as some folks came to believe he was last season, but 35, 36 years old, he makes $6.25 million for the next 2 years. That's a problem. And that's a luxury item that Hextall didn't need to go out and get, but did anyway. Right. So you have Petrie, you have Jan Ruda, who, there's some duplication, I think, between him and Petrie. In a perfect world, Kyle Dubas would move out Jeff Petrie, right? But easier said than done when you're talking about an older player with that much money left on the cap, right? So we'll see. I think there's a chance that group is better this coming season than they were the last. But yeah, it is. That's a more difficult one to figure out than the plan for the forward group. The forwards are easy. It's like try to go find some cheap guys that fill a role and don't get killed in their own end, and they have money to spend and slots to fill there. The defensive stuff is a little bit more of a work in progress because of the money that's tied up and because of the amount of roster spots that are tied up as well.
He's America's sweetheart, and he writes for The Athletic. Sean Gentile, read his work over there. It's very good. Thank you, Sean.
That's me. Bye, fellas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.